Amen. Well, I appreciate that singing. That's the kind of singing I like to listen to. I'd rather hear it from the heart than from the skill.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It overwhelms me when I think about what God has done in my life. Sure does.
Yes.
Amen. Y'all be seated. Thank you. Crowd's thin, you say? Well, our crowd's thinner at home. Seth and them pulled out for Virginia this afternoon, and so that left them scattered there. I mean, they're having church, but they're few in number tonight. So got a son-in-law, he's preaching tonight to them. But, you know, the cup passes. I was thinking about that before you said that. I was already thinking in that direction, you know. All those old-timers that we knew are gone for the most part. And it dawned on me here a while back. They're looking at us now.
Yep. That's right.
And so let me warn you young people, all you sitting here, these little children and everything, you're up next.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
That's what it'll feel like.
Right.
And it's too important. You can't drop the ball.
That's right.
When the cup's passed to you, you better be a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I'll try to not preach as long tonight as I did this morning. I'm just terrible about that. I just repent over and over and tell everybody I'll preach a short message. And once in a while it does happen, doesn't it? I mean, once in a while. But I want to start in Leviticus tonight, Leviticus chapter 19. Say, well, this will be boring, going back to Leviticus. Leviticus is not boring.
Right.
I found that out in studying it. It is not a boring book.
Amen.
It's the law.
Yes, sir.
The law of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19. Now, there's some really tough stuff in that chapter, but we're just going to try to look at one important thing here tonight. And it's about our character. And it's about holiness.
Amen.
All right, verse 1 and 2, Leviticus 19. This is kind of an introduction to the whole chapter. That's the point of this whole chapter is holiness. It's mentioned right here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And if we could only understand what holiness really means, I think we'd have more interest in it, really.
Right.
God's outstanding, overriding attribute that from which everything else about God springs is His holiness.
That's right.
If God's not holy, then He's not love.
Yep.
If God's not holy, then He's not just.
Right.
And everything depends upon His holiness.
Yes, sir.
And in this verse here, He tells us that that's the goal. He wants His people to be holy.
Amen.
As He is holy. He wants to reproduce His holiness in His people.
Right.
And that's the theme of this whole chapter, that the people of God are holy. But the aim of the law is to produce a certain type of moral and spiritual character. Holiness essentially consists of a spiritual likeness to God.
Right.
You shall be holy, for the Lord, I, the Lord your God, am holy. And in this chapter, He repeats that 16 times. 16 times. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, it's not a skill that we learn, or a habit, or a way of life that we learn, but it's the character in us. Years ago, we made fun of each other. Young preachers made fun of each other. What are you going to preach on tonight? Love? Is that what you're going to preach on? Like it was something terrible.
Yeah.
Man, I found out I preach a lot about it now.
Amen.
I found out how important it is in a church.
Right.
That we love each other.
Right.
Man, if we don't, we're grounded.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if you could even call it a church if the people don't love one another.
Right.
And that springs from holiness. It's a character. It's a character trait. It's part of our being, the part of the way we are, the part of the essence of our life. It's not just something we learn how to do by doing certain things. Holiness doesn't consist of dressing right and talking right and living right and all of that. That comes from holiness.
Yes,
it doesn't constitute holiness.
Right.
You can have all that and be a Pharisee.
Yes,
that's what a Pharisee is.
Right.
No holiness, but
right.
Plenty of clean living on the outside.
Right.
No, it takes more than that. It's a truth for all ages. It's not just a commandment here in Leviticus for a certain period of time and for a certain group of people. This wasn't just for Israel. This was for God's people forever. And it's the law. You know, and the law is a shadow of things to come.
Yes, sir.
Better things to come.
Amen.
So if that's just a shadow, what should it be now?
Amen.
What holiness looks like is laid out. Now, you didn't understand what I just said because I haven't explained myself yet. But holiness looks like it's laid out in the rest of this chapter. It's real interesting if you study it and take it apart and look at what God's saying here and how He's saying it, how He's showing us what holiness really is. First, holiness is manifested in our attitude toward God.
Yes, sir.
And our attitude toward other people.
And
our concept of God, and our actions toward God and others. That's how holiness is manifested, in other words, revealed.
Right.
That's how we see it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we couldn't see it. Because it's an inner thing. It's that part, and it's in our heart, our mind. That holiness is an attribute of that.
Right.
Not just, and the only way we see it is the outward actions that it produces in our lives. And the very first thing mentioned about holiness is that it'll lead you to honor your father and your mother. Well, that's your first relationship with others in this life.
Right.
The first people that you are associated with in this life. Holiness will teach you to honor them and fear them. You see, the whole thing about moral law has to do with the fact that there's a bunch of us live on this earth. Not just one. If I was the only person that existed in the universe, it wouldn't matter what I did, because it wouldn't hurt anybody. There's nobody to hurt. But it's not that way.
Right.
There's God. If there were no other people, there's God.
Yes, sir.
Right. It would hurt God if I was not holy.
Right.
Not like Him. But there's more than God. There's other people. And God put us here to live together, and there's where the moral law comes in. Because we can't trample on each other and we can't trespass against one another. It causes hurt. It causes damage. It costs other people. And it's not right.
Right.
And that's what moral law is about, is showing us where we trample on other people's
right.
hearts and lives and feelings and yep. everything else. And so that's what this is about. Holiness has to do with how we interact with other people, the manifestation of it. I hope you're with me so far.
Yes.
Holiness keeps us from idols. You see that as you read through here. Because there's only one holy God. There's only one God that's holy, and that's
right.
the Lord God Almighty, who created all things.
Amen.
He is holy. No idol God's holy.
Right.
That's how you identify them. They're not holy.
Right.
They're unclean.
Yep.
Holiness leads you to sacrifice to God and give to Him of what He's given to you. Your money. Follow the money, they say. Well, you can use that a lot in spiritual matters too, because these tight-fisted people who don't want to give God.
Yep.
You know, people argue with you about tithing.
Yeah.
I said, boy, you're real generous here, you know. Here's how you do. You sit down and put all your money on the table and you say, one for God and nine for me. And one for God and nine for me. And you think you're really giving God, blessing God. And He gave it all to you. And it's all His. And if He hadn't given it to you, you wouldn't have the nine to keep for yourself. So, I don't see that's a sacrifice. Tithing is not a sacrifice. The tithe is the Lord's.
Amen.
It's not mine.
Right.
I don't own it. I have no right to it.
Right.
And furthermore, I don't have a right. Here we go. I don't have a right to put it where I think it ought to do go and where it ought to do the best work.
Right.
I think you ought to tithe where you belong in your
Amen.
Local church. Yes, sir.
Amen.
I've had a lot of people do that, you know, and I've had people try to do that by giving us their tithe. And
yeah.
No, you know, I don't know.
Right.
If you're going to church somewhere else, that's where you need to tithe. And you need to be going to church somewhere else.
Sure.
Why would you be tithing if you're not going to church somewhere else?
Yeah.
Well, he leads you to sacrifice. Holiness leads you to sacrifice to God and give him everything you got. Your money, your children. You give your children to God.
Yep.
Just like Hannah did. You give them to the Lord.
Amen.
You realize that they belong to him, not to you.
Right.
And it's the only way to succeed in raising them in this wicked world too. But holiness, that holiness that God works in us will cause you to do this. Give your strength, your time to the Lord. Holiness will make you want to say, like you said this morning, here am I, send me.
Amen.
I belong to you. You can have me. Whatever you want to do with me. It leads us to sacrifice to God according to his law and his commandments.
Yes.
And not just how we think it ought to be. You know, we don't make up our own way. Holiness will make us want to be conformed to God's son. The image of his son. We won't want to try to figure this all out how we can do it better. Say, what are you talking about? Well, Cain came to the Lord with an offering. But it wasn't pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
Because the basic thing there was Cain made up in his mind that this is a way better than what Abel's doing. That old blood and gore and nastiness, and look at all this beautiful fruit that I have grown with my skill and my hands. And you know, I've heard people, and I heard somebody pretty close to me here a while back. They said that, you know, that they had wanted to do something for the Lord and all this, but they'd figured out that the best way they thought they could do is just make a lot of money, and then that way they could give it to the Lord. Just commit their life to making money, and then that way they could have money to give to the Lord.
Mm.
I've never seen anybody do that yet.
No, sir. You're right.
Now, the love of money is the root of all evil, and when you start making a lot of money, I've seen very few that weren't pretty tight-fisted with
it. Yes,
sir. And it's not pleasing to the Lord. That's the work of our hands.
Right.
God don't want the work of our hands, and he don't want a sacrifice that we have fixed the way we think it ought to be and the way that we like it the best.
Right.
He wants us. He wants you.
Amen.
That's what he wants.
Right.
And that's the only sacrifice that's acceptable to the Lord.
Amen.
You can't substitute money. You can't buy your way. God, you can't bail yourself out, you know. So holiness will lead us to be benevolent to others and not greedy and heaping to ourselves, because love springs from holiness. If you read down in verses 9 and 10 there, it says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, see, and the point I'm making is this chapter is the outline for the message here, see. You shall be holy.
Right.
Well, what is he talking about? He's telling us just what holiness will look like when you're holy, like God's holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. I'm the Lord your God. He says that often.
Right.
I'm the Lord your God who feeds the birds and every living creature.
Right. Amen.
Do you ever think about the abundance of what God provides for birds? You know, a lot of people like to feed birds during the winter. We tried it a little bit. Nope, cost too much. Man, them birds eat a lot of seed. And you got to go buy that stuff, and then you got to put it out there. And if we don't feed them, they don't starve to death. There's plenty. I think about how, you know, when we did that a little while, and I know other people that do it all the time, and it's pick up loads of bird seed for the birds to eat for just a little bit. Well, you can put a whole bag out there when the snow's on, and man, they'll eat it in just a couple of hours. It'll be gone. And I think about that. How many birds are there around sitting and listening, and they're everywhere, thousands of them.
Yep.
And these birds that eat up all of our food, just a few that we're seeing. So how much is out there to feed them all winter that God provided?
Amen.
God provided it. And he says, don't you be stingy with your stuff either.
Amen.
Don't be tight-fisted with your money.
Right.
Don't be tight-fisted with your stuff.
Yep.
Give.
Amen.
Holiness will produce benevolence. And it won't be because it's your duty to do. And because you want to be able to go to church and tell people what you've done.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be like that.
Right.
It's just going to be because your heart has compassion and love for
Amen.
Others.
Amen.
It'll be your nature. Not some commandment you're trying to keep.
Right.
And struggling with.
Amen.
When you harvest your land, you'll not greedily heap to yourself every little piece of everything to yourself. Did you leave some for the poor and the stranger? Say, well, I don't own a farm. Well, when you get your paycheck, what about that?
Yep.
When you collect all your revenue for the week or the month or whatever, does that all go to for you? Or do you leave something for somebody else?
Amen.
Why are we to work anyway? Why are we to labor with our hands? So that we'll have to give to him that is in need. That's what the Bible says. We don't need to work to take care of ourselves. God will take care of ourselves, but we work so that we'll have to give to him and in need.
Amen.
We don't think that way though, do we?
You're right.
We work so I can buy me a boat. We've always got some. I know everybody got something in mind that you need. And so you work harder to get that money to buy that thing, whatever it is that you think you need, that you don't really need. So you can put it in with all your other stuff in your barn that's already full. And but we don't have that love and compassion like we ought to. I mean, I think that, so one of the evidences of a holy character is that it's benevolent. Now, benevolence means that disposition to do good. It's not, like I said, it's not a commandment. It's not a duty that we fulfill. It's not a burden that we bear. It's not something that we're obligated. We don't do it out of obligation. We do it because we see the need and we care. You'd be amazed how much that's lacking in our day. You know, a church is a bunch of people and you have to care. That's the secret to reaching the lost.
Right.
And it's a secret to reaching anybody that comes in here. I've been amazed in the last year or so, we've had like two or three different people ask us privately, do you think it would be all right if we came to your church to a service? I told everybody at home, I said, what in the world's going on here?
Yeah.
How is this turned upside down? So we used to get out and just beat doors and beg everybody and do anything in the world, get people into church. And now they're asking us if we would care if they came to our service. But these are not the high class, high stepping people.
Right.
These are the down and out people
that
think nobody, that people like us, they've said that. Well, we didn't know if, you know, you'd even want anybody like us in the church. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir. We always tell them, you come. You're welcome. Say, so, well, I might smell bad. Well, so what? What do you reckon that leper smelled like that Jesus reached out and touched?
Right.
You got to care
Amen.
About people. And you got to care about one another in a church.
Yep.
You don't care about anybody out there if you don't care about your brother
right.
and your sister in the church. I mean, you got to really care. You got to really love them. You got to really be concerned about their life and their welfare and their home and their children and their needs instead of just thinking about myself all the time.
Amen.
Holiness changes that in a person.
Yes.
You ever read about George Mueller? I was thinking about him today. And not many people know, I don't think, about his earlier life before he was saved. His father was a Lutheran pastor. And he put George Mueller in a Lutheran seminary so he could be a pastor too, to try to have him some security because he was lazy.
Yep.
He was immoral. He would steal. I mean, he was just like an incorrigible boy, young man. And that's the way he was while he was learning to be a Lutheran preacher. Well, we all, what we all know about, or I do at least, that's one of them things I was talking about, Brother Shepherd. I mentioned these people that I've read about and heard preached about, and some of the young people never heard of them. So who are you talking about?
Yep.
George Mueller. He always wanted to be a missionary. He wanted to be a missionary to China, but the Lord never let him do that. So he had orphanages and 2,000 children, orphans that he cared for. And all of his life, after he got born again, was about giving, giving.
Amen.
He gave more to missions than any good he could have ever done while he was feeding 2,000 orphans.
Yep.
By faith, daily.
Amen.
He didn't have a big bank account and a trust that he could draw from and a lot of supporters and all of that. He prayed and in every day.
Amen.
And gave it away. I mean, that's what holiness does. It changes our character.
Yes.
So that we're not greedy and selfish and lusting after things for ourselves. We turn our eyes outward from ourselves and start looking. That's how God is. See, be ye holy even as I'm holy.
Right.
What is God looking at all the time? Well, he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. He's kind to them.
Yes, he is.
Why? Because he's holy.
Amen.
And because he's holy, he loves.
Amen.
I can see that here. It's a disposition to goodwill toward others, charitableness, the love of mankind, accompanied with a desire to promote their happiness and their good. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God.
That's right.
For God is love. So love and charity, I think they're pretty much synonymous in the Bible. Yet we understand more clearly what love is when the word charity is used. Because it adds an element of doing something.
Right.
Instead of just saying something.
Yeah.
With your mouth.
Yep.
Words are cheap.
Yep.
Be ye filled. Be ye warmed and filled. God bless you, brother. Hope you find some help. That's different than giving them the shirt off of your back like you have heard, you know.
Yeah.
Remember how our society used to be different than it is now in this matter?
Yes, sir.
I've known a lot of people that's what the other people said about them. They'd give you the shirt off of their back.
Yep.
That means they thought of others more than themselves.
Yep.
They'd rather do without so you can have what you need than to them to have more than they need. Charity is understood by us to be giving. You know, when you go to do your taxes, they'll ask you about charitable donations.
Yeah.
You always ask, do you want to donate to this charity?
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that as giving. And it's out of compassion and love. Not only that, but it's understood as giving to those who can't repay. Now, when a Christian understands that according to the Bible, we give not to receive back again.
Right.
We just give, not hoping for anything again.
Right.
We don't give to get. We just give.
Right.
Because that's how God is.
Amen.
God gives. Everything God made gives.
Yep.
Except man. He takes.
Yep.
Takes all he can get. Until God is in him.
Amen.
Of a truth. And then things change. We give to those who can't repay and with no expectation of being repaid. It's given without an eye to self at all. It's giving without an eye to self at all. But to others. An eye to others. We were talking the other day a little bit about people that are panhandling, we call it, begging. Man, I've had a lot of experience with that. When we were in Mexico, that was just a daily, almost an hourly thing that we had to deal with. It's getting more so that way here.
Yes, sir.
We saw somebody yesterday, didn't we, out on the street? Or was it this morning? This morning, yeah. And we all just kind of harden ourselves about that, don't we?
Yes.
We look at them and say, well, I'll bet you they don't really need it. And I'll bet. Well, I know there's a lot of people that are taking advantage of other people that way.
Sure.
But does that justify us having that kind of feeling and attitude?
Right.
What does God see? I mean, we got to look a little farther than that and a little deeper than that. You look at that person and they may take, you know, people give them money, they may take it and buy booze or cigarettes or drugs or something with it. But how destitute is their soul?
Right.
Do we just write them off to hell because, and I ain't giving, I had a preacher tell me, I wouldn't give a dime to anybody like that. On a woman begging for money on the sidewalk with a baby. I said, and I'm talking about in Mexico. I said, well, I'll tell you how I think about this deal. I said, I'd rather give to them and make a mistake by giving to somebody that's going to misuse it than to make a mistake by refusing to give to somebody God's put in my path.
Right.
If they're there and God sent me by to help them, and I say, oh, no, I don't give my money to somebody like then I'll answer to God.
That's right.
And plus, that'll just bring a... Man, that'll bring the judgment of God on me, I think. I believe that. That's the wrong attitude. It's not the attitude of love. There's no holiness there. Y'all understand what
yes,
I'm
sir.
Talking about?
Yes, sir.
I'd rather give to people that are going to misuse it. I do use a little judgment. I mean, if they're high in their kite, you know, I ain't giving them. And we don't give them money. We fix a little bag at our church. We take a little plastic bag and put a track in it that we made ourselves and we give them a package of crackers and a little gift card to McDonald's or somewhere for just enough to buy them a hamburger and something and a hanky and just some little things like that. Give it to them. So you give them something.
Right.
You reach out to them. But I'll tell you, I've seen some people, I've had more good experiences, just like the song said there. I've had more good experiences with people like that than bad. I've been blessed more than I've been had by them. Unbelievable. Somebody really in need. And they know you're a Christian and they see that sign on your car and they see how you're dressed and then they see you turn up your nose at them and walk off and snarl at them. And
yeah.
What have you done? What have you closed the door on them forever? You know, they remember. And they kind of recognize most of us as Christians because of the way we dress and stuff and besides all the rest of it. But love and charity, it's given without an eye to self. And that only exists in holy character, not in an act that we perform. We can't do it just as a matter of commandment. It's not something that we do once in a while. It's a principle thing that comes to our minds when we're engaged with other people in any way. Hope I'm making myself clear enough.
Yes, sir.
It's our first thought, not something we have to wrestle ourselves into.
Right.
The first thought that we have toward others is benevolence and
Amen.
Kindness and love and compassion. Jesus looked on the multitude and he didn't see a bunch of people that were just following him for the bread and the fish. He looked on the people and on the multitude and had compassion on them.
That's right.
Because they were a sheep having no shepherd. That's the Lord. And that's why he's saying, be ye holy, even as I am holy.
Right. Amen.
That's what he wants from us.
That's right.
He don't want us, he's not commanding us in certain things here particularly. What he's aiming at is our character, our being.
Amen.
That you're that way instead of just trying to be that way. Pretend you're like that. That we're actually like that. That we actually care. If people think you care, you got a door, wide open door to help them to find God.
Right.
If they think you really don't care, they're not going to listen to a word that we say.
That's right.
So it's something that we... That comes to our minds, like Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. I think I marked my place here so I could find it quicker. But Philippians chapter 2 In verse 3, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then the next verse says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you see, that's what I'm saying to you tonight is consistent in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament. That's the law of God in the beginning, a shadow of things to come.
Right.
It's about our heart's attitude in all our dealings with other people. Now, the law was weak through the flesh in the Old Testament because he commanded them this, taught them this, showed it to them. It just didn't work real well with them. Didn't get through to them.
Right.
Holiness will cause a person to think of others before himself. Holiness will cause a person to do what's right, no matter what the cost to himself.
Right.
All those same attributes are outlined in Psalm 15. These are some verses here in Psalm 15, verse 1 through 5. The Bible says here, David, a Psalm of David, Lord, he said, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Here's the answer. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Listen to what he says. And speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. His neighbor.
Yeah.
In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He keeps his word.
Right.
He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. You see how that all goes along with this? All that has to do with how you treat other people.
Right.
You don't do them wrong. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
Right.
Holiness is God's number one attribute, and everything else springs from it. His love, His mercy,
right.
His long-suffering, His kindness. God really does desire good toward others.
Amen.
You see, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance.
That's right.
It really is.
Yes.
That's the last straw in your struggle fighting against God when you're lost. When it dawns on you what she just sang about.
Yep.
That God has been good to you in spite of your hateful, rebellious, selfish self.
Yeah.
It overwhelms you.
Amen.
You give up. That's the last blast he has to blow at you.
Amen.
It overwhelms your soul. God really does care. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. If people could only understand God's holy. That's why he's this way.
Right.
His holiness is not that he is, I don't know how to express it, but it's not like everybody's concept of holiness. Holiness makes him be this way.
Right.
He cares about us.
Right.
He loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
Why? Because he's holy.
Amen.
He made us to love us.
Right.
And look what man's done to God. And how man's paid him back and returned it to him.
Yep.
He sent his son to die for us and atone for our sins. And look how man's paid him back.
Yep.
Holiness is the number one attribute that God wants to produce in us. This is in the law here. This is in the beginning of the instruction that God gives in the law about our personal character.
Right.
And this is the number one thing. Be ye holy.
Amen.
Even as I am holy. He's not picking at little things like make sure you wash your hands before you eat and don't pick corn on the Sabbath. And, you know, he's talking about what we are, what
right.
kind of person we are.
Amen.
He wants us to be like him in our disposition and character towards others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants me and you to look at other people, not just in the church, but outside the church. The people out there, to look at them the way He does.
Amen.
But if we could ever get that.
Yep.
And give up and let God work it in us. Holiness, real holiness. That would make us care about other people.
Right.
And care about God. In order to understand it, you know, it always helps to compare things. When you're looking for truth and trying to discern, God set everything up in opposite poles. There's hot and cold, up and down, you know, rich and poor. Everything's got two extreme points, and that's how we get our bearings on it. So, it does well to just consider this. The opposite of benevolence is malevolence,
yep,
which is desiring evil on others. I hear that out of a lot of people that profess to be Christians toward those that are outside. We're living in an evil time, dark time. People are messed up. People have always been messed up. But I mean, we're living in a time where it's just unbelievable. And it's offensive to us.
Right.
To see what they do to their bodies.
Yep.
To see what they do to their minds and how they're thinking and the filth and the corruption and the blasphemy and all of that. It's offensive to us. But
yes,
but to say, you know, well, I'll tell you what I think we ought to just put them all out on an island, drop an atom bomb on them. I've heard that in church. Well, that ain't benevolence.
No.
That's malevolence.
Yes, sir.
It's the very opposite of it. Tell you one thing. The older I get, the more thankful I am for the people who had patience with me.
Amen.
Before I had enough sense to not be a plague on everybody.
Amen.
And I've said that a lot, and I realize that. You mentioned that a while ago, but just the people, since I've been saved, you know, when I started out, I was young and very zealous and very much thought I knew what to do. And there were several older people tried to talk to me, and you know, but they loved me anyway.
Amen.
And they were patient with me anyway.
Yep.
And evidently they saw hope in me, and they cared. They cared for me.
Amen.
They didn't just kick me out and say, get out of here, you idiot, you. You ain't got no sense. And if we don't kick you out, you're going to mess things up. Nope, they didn't. They waited and hoped and prayed and loved me.
Amen.
There was some holiness in their character. That's why they did that.
Right.
I'm sure I was offensive. Oh, my. I can remember some of the things I said and did, and it's not mine. It's a wonder they didn't kick me out. See there, my wife's saying true. Amen. That's right. Look around you. There's a lot of young people here. They've not learned everything yet.
That's right.
Hope for them. Pray for them.
Amen.
Love them. Above all, wish good for them. Pray for good for them.
Amen.
Pray they make it through all of this,
yes,
obstacle course of life,
yes,
until they can get their feet on the ground and understand some things like they need to.
Amen.
A lot of people that are not benevolent are not malevolent, though. See, we're comparing opposites. I can talk louder than they can. A lot of people that are not benevolent are not malevolent either. They're not extreme. We're just comparing the extremes here. But there's a lot of people who are not benevolent, but they don't wish evil on other people. They just don't care about other people. See, you get me? What I'm saying there?
Yes.
They just don't care. They think about themselves. They don't wish them evil, but they're not going to help them.
Right.
And they don't even consider their troubles, problems. They're concerned about coming out the best they can for themselves with no regard for the needs or the welfare of others. Me first.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people who are not benevolent are greedy when it comes to material things. They have an insatiable appetite for things that they can possess and call their own. When you're not benevolent, you're usually greedy.
Yes.
And you may be nice to other people, friendly, and kind in that way, but you can still be lacking.
Yeah.
Because what you want it for yourself. And you're not looking with concern on other people. Reckon if everybody in here just looked around at each other seriously for the needs and can I be a blessing? Can I help? If you really looked for something you could do for somebody else in here, reckon you could find something?
Yep.
Reckon you could find somebody that is in need that you could help?
Amen.
It's all over the place.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's always in need.
Yes, sir.
I mean, and I'm not talking about even just particularly stuff, money, food, needs. What about just a good word?
Right.
What about a word of encouragement?
Amen.
What about just edifying somebody a little bit? Helping them in their soul.
Amen.
That does more good than a lot of this other.
That's right. They need
that as much as they need money.
Sure.
And groceries and everything else. Holy character in a person puts others first and trusts God to take care of himself. Puts the other people first. We used to have a thing in church and it said joy, J-O-Y.
Yeah.
And it was Jesus first, others second, you last.
Right. That's right.
This is not some new teaching I'm talking about here tonight. This is the way of the Lord.
Amen.
This is the way he wants us to be. He wants us. If we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, this will be manifest in our life more and more.
Yes.
When you get older, you don't care so much about everything anymore. Stuff, things.
Yep.
Somebody told me the other day, well, Dad said in church, he said, after service, you know, we kind of have testimonies a little bit once a month. He said, well, one of the things I've found out about getting old, he said, I've just quit making plans. About buying anything,
yeah.
You know, about getting a new truck or about going on a vacation. Just ain't no need of planning because he said, if I thought about buying a new truck, he said, what would I need it for? You know, or something 2 years down the road. He said, probably ain't going to be here. So why make plans? So when you get to that point, what do you start thinking about? Here's what I've noticed in people that love God, that got some sense. They start looking around them at the young people and at their kids and their grandkids and they get concerned about them.
That's right.
But we ought to be concerned about them all the way through.
Amen.
In order to understand this, that's what we got to do. Now, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? See, Paul's saying, why? Why are you doing this? Why would you fight with one another? Why would you take your brother to the court to try to win a battle with him? Why don't you just give up and say, you can have it?
Yep.
That would be the right thing to do. That would be the godly thing to do. Holiness would cause you to do that, to say, who cares? About a dollar. I've known people that fell out in church over money loans,
yeah,
and business deals and all of that. And it's very, you know, it's really kind of a bad deal for Christians to go in business together because the lack of holiness.
Right.
If you're both walking with God and you're both holy and you both don't care about yourselves, if you care about the other more than yourself, well, then you get along all right. But it's usually not that way.
Right.
We're doing this to make money. You get to be kind of like my grandpa was in the business. They had a sawmill, and he was in business partners with his brother-in-law. Well, his brother-in-law was the tight. Grandpa's told me this so many times. Grandpa's been gone for 30 years now. But he said that every week when they divided everything up, if it came out an odd penny, well, Uncle Monroe took it 1 week, and the next week, Grandpa could have the odd penny. I mean, that's how close it had to be. You see? Who cares about a penny? Won't you take it? When God... Well, let me say another thing first here. Holy character is the basis for a society like our forefathers had. You know, where a man's word was his bond and a handshake meant more than a contract on a piece of paper. The Bible says to swear not. Well, why? What does that mean? Well, you ought to be so truthful that you wouldn't have to swear to make people believe you. And you shouldn't have to sign a contract on a piece of paper to make people believe that you're going to do what you said you'd do. But that's not the case in our society now, is it? But it used to be. It used to be because preachers in churches preached this. And it was commonly understood that God was holy. And if we were going to belong to God, we were to be holy too. And that meant that we cared more for others than for ourselves. But now we have insurance. They didn't have to pay insurance. And we gripe about paying insurance, but it's the result of the lack of holiness. Everything that we're suffering now and going to suffer here in the future from our government and all of the freedom we've lost, it's because of the lack of holiness. We've quit fighting against sin. We've quit calling it the enemy. We've quit calling it out. We've quit dealing with it. And so you can't have freedom and liberty when sin reigns. Holy character is necessary for safety and security among any group of people. When we, 30 years ago, 33 or 4 years ago, when we went to Mexico, I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have any way to call home except a payphone, which used to be payphones, you know. But I could go to a payphone, dial 0, and say, "Operator, I want to make a call and charge it to my home phone number." She didn't say, "What's your mother's maiden name? Password, please. I'm sending you an email with a confirmation code. You send that back, and then I'll tell you." And, you know, she just said, "All right, what's your home phone number?" I'd give it to her. She'd say, "What number you want to call?" I'd give her the number. Go right through. Can you believe the world used to be like that? So short a time ago. Now I can't get in my own bank account without, it's a tussle every time. It just aggravates me to death. The world's eat up with thieves, and that's why. Right. See? So much immorality that wasn't there back then.
Right.
You could trust people, and they weren't stealing everything from ever.
Yep.
Passwords and security codes and confirmations and, you know, I get aggravated because it takes so long. I mean, I thought this was supposed to be convenient. I thought it was supposed to be fast. You just get on there, log in, pay your bill, log out. No, it's not. It doesn't happen. It rarely ever happens that way for me anymore. You got to have there's so many levels of security, and it's all because of the wickedness that's running rampant on this earth. So we can't have any safety or security among any group of people without holiness, without holy character. And it's only when people have a true love and concern for others that they'll stop lying to them and stealing from them and trying to take from them whatever they can by any means they can use. Churches around where we live used to leave the doors unlocked all the time. You just go anywhere and go in the church. We got one of the guys that comes to church. He's out guarding the metal on the work site every night. He said, "I'll be here till it's on the roof." He sits out there in his car every night and watches so some thief don't come and carry it off.
Right.
Ain't that awful?
Yes.
Who would think? One of our guys said, "I got a trailer, an enclosed trailer. We put that out there and we start working." I said, they'll steal it, man.
Right.
He said, I said, "Well, I ain't leaving my tools in it because they'll take them."
Yeah.
And he, you know, anyway, we put it out there. He did. I took a wheel off of it. I said, "They ain't going to steal the whole trailer. I'll take a wheel off of it. Put it somewhere else. So if they're going to take it, they're going to have to carry it off." Well, it was out there about a week, and they broke the lock off of the door and opened it up. There was a table saw, air tools in there, big fancy chop saw that belonged to him, They opened it up. They did all that trouble of prizing the lock off and tearing it all to pieces to get it open, and they never took a thing. They just walked off and left it. And everybody couldn't understand it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what happened. The angel of the Lord was standing right there and said, if you touch one thing, I'm going to kill you right here on the spot. And they never came back. But that's the kind of world we live in. I mean, anything loose, they're going to steal. Church or no church, it don't make any difference. When God is forgotten and there are no people with holy character to represent Him here among men, it just becomes a jungle. It's like the jungle. It's every man for himself. Now, if the law was meant to produce order and peace among the people, how much more should the fulfilling of the law in Christ and the grace of God and the Spirit of God do now?
Amen.
Let me read you a verse or two here, and I'll close her down here. But I got a verse or two I want to read. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. But there's another verse. Let me read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 7. Hang on, I wrote it down. 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect. Now, we read out of the law tonight in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. That's the law. The law that's the shadow of things to come. The law that made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. John 13 and verse 35, what did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. That's the identifying mark. Where does that love come from? It comes from holiness, from being concerned about others. It's the nature of God. And if we're partakers of His divine nature, it's going to be in us.
Right.
You give. I remember listening to a young missionary one night, and he preached, and my goodness, he jackhammered that thing for an hour. You just come to church to get. You don't come to give. You know, he just went on and on and on with that. Said, you're always a reaching, you're never a handing out. You just come and you get and you take and you don't give and you, he just, I don't know how he managed to do that, but I mean, the time he got done, you was under the pew thinking, oh my goodness, that is right. We're always thinking about getting instead of giving. What would happen? What would a service be like if everybody came to church, prayed up with a heart fervent for God and wanting to give?
Yes, sir.
If everybody brought something to give at church to the service, if everybody come just bursting with the blessing of God in your soul,
amen,
what would it be like? But everybody comes and they come in and they sit down and say, all right, I'm here. Give me what you can.
Yeah.
It's the attitudes. It's that deep thing in us about how we think in this matter.
Amen.
What can I do for somebody?
Amen.
That ought to be our nature. And not looking for something for ourselves. Not with this idea of I'm gonna sow some, you know, so I can get. I'm needing some help, so I'm gonna give somebody something. Now, you're just tempting God when you do it like that. God looks on the heart, not on the outward. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks deeper than that. And He may see your good works, but there's a whole bunch of people going to stand before Him and say, didn't you see all our good works, our mighty, wonderful works? You're going to say, I never knew you.
Yep.
They didn't do it with the right motive. They did it out of pride and selfishness and making a name for themselves instead of just purely for the good of somebody else.
Amen.
When you give your alms, what are you supposed to do? Not let your right hand know what your left hand know what your right hand did, whatever. Your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly.
Amen.
We ought to just be concerned about others and seek to do good.
Amen.
What did Jesus do when he was here? Did he go around taking offerings and scheduling meetings and writing books and selling tapes? And did he do that? No. He went about doing good.
Amen.
Everywhere he went, he was thronged by people in need. And he never said, "Get out of here. I ain't got time for you. I ain't doing it. I just don't." The nearest he ever came to that was that Syrophoenician woman. He says, "Not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." She said, "Yea, Lord. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And he said, "Oh woman, be it unto you even as you ask."
Amen.
You know, I mean, go home. You're that devil's gone out of your daughter. He was good. He was compassionate. He cared about people. And that's why he left such a mark in this world. That nobody else ever done. Muhammad didn't do that.
That's right.
And Buddha never done that.
Right.
Neither did any other cult that ever was on the face of the earth.
Right.
Jesus was the only one.
Amen.
That turned the world upside down like
yes,
that.
Sir.
Because he cared.
Amen.
And people knew he cared. And they knew that if they could just but touch the hem of his garment,
yes,
they'd be made whole. If they could just get that close to him. Because they knew that he would not deny them.
Amen.
That's God.
Amen.
And we are to be like him. Well, that's the message I think the Lord wanted me to give tonight.
Amen.
We ought to be more like God,
yes,
in holiness. And that has to do with how we look at one another. Love one another. Church, you can't be one. Somebody, we talked about that yesterday. You, Brother Jacob, me and you talking about that. There has to be unity.
Right.
One mind. And there can't be without love.
Right.
Love don't require that everybody agree with everybody about everything.
Right.
You know, we had some people that left our church because they couldn't agree with what I was preaching about certain things. But they still love us. And we love them, you know. They wanted to come back to one of the services, and they kind of put feelers out with some of the folks. And, you know, we didn't know if it'd be all right or not if we came. I didn't say, nope, you left. We don't want you back no more. You're not welcome here. I mean, if you're not going to agree with us, well, you're not welcome here. Didn't say that at all.
Right.
They came.
Amen.
And I don't think that deal's done yet.
Right.
I don't. It matters more
Amen.
Than anything. I'm getting old and I've realized that. I wished I'd have preached on love more when I was younger. I wish I'd have thought about it and studied it more. But I'd rather run a bulldozer back then than talk about love, see? I mean, bring the bulldozer to church. Let's just clean house here. No, that don't work.
Right.
Don't work. It's the things that have straightened me out and things I was cockeyed about in life has always been done through somebody that did it in love.
Amen.
Little words people say. You know, one time long years ago, you know, my wife, a man at work, said something to her that was totally not true at the time. He was a good man. He was a holy man. And he did it in love. And all he said was, what did he say? "You're such a good girl," or something like that. Yeah. Well, those words had their effect, believe
Amen.
Me. Never forgotten.
Amen.
Because he just reached out in love and said what he said.
Amen.
He knew what he was doing. He had some wisdom. And he did it in love instead of anger, frustration, whatever. You know,
Amen.
We need to do that. We need to, as a good example to us, never forgot it. Never forgot it. Father, thank you for the for the folks tonight that are here. And thank you for the opportunity to preach a little bit here tonight. Thank you for the truth in this matter. Please bless it to our hearts now and help us all to receive it, including myself. Lord, work in my life and help me to be more keen about the needs of others and to really have compassion and love for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, Brother Shepherd. You.